This is the Don and Mike Show.
We must save our nation from decay and deliver our children from the horrors of perversion.
That's not all.
Ugly sex situations, cheap jokes, and dirty dialogue are not wanted.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
You hear me?
Habla funny, Don Geronimo y Mike O'Mara.
Uh-huh, bueno.
No, Ewan finally showed up. He was a little bit late, but...
You know, we had a great time with Ewan. You know, the bike we're going to ride is... You know, one of the cool things about...
You know, looking at these bikes, looking at some of the technology on... You know, the thing I think that's... You know, after a great ride, we arrived here, midway through the ride.
We got out a little bit. But, you know, we had a great time with Ewan.
Pretty hard to do a segment on American Chopper without starting it out with... You know.
Yeah, I guess they do little recaps about everything that they've been doing.
No, Ewan finally showed up. He was a little bit late, but...
We got out a little bit. The weather's unbelievable.
Midway through the ride. After a great ride, we, looking at...
You know, one of the cool things about Brooklyn, the bike we're going to ride is... You know, we had a great time with Ewan today. It was really...
Anyway.
Ewan.
I love Chopper.
I'm a big fan myself.
Where the hell is he? Gay for the show.
Now, we're going to get Junior today, right?
Yeah, and
it's not Senior or Mikey. This is Junior.
I'm ready. I'm really ready. When we had Senior on, I had a Senior moment. I had that moment when you meet someone that you really want to meet.
Sure.
And then you leave and you go, oh, I was like a total jerk. I just like, you are my biggest fan.
I am your biggest
fan.
That's
what I mean. Say
you get all googly on him.
Right? Said something backwards like that.
And really, when you watch something on a regular basis, which you do, and we talk about it on the show all the time, and we are fans of the show. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes when you get all googly, you forget to ask the kind of stuff that, that needs to be asked.
Oh, buttery. Oh, the longer that we wait.
And pad.
The less googly I get.
I'm losing my Google as we speak.
Probably for the best.
And I'm not talking about the computer programming.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
this obviously is not Paul Jr.
What? Paul, how's it going? How's the show going?
Hi there. What's up?
Hey, can you put me on hold so I can listen to you guys? Because this faggot ass Baltimore station's playing some post Orioles game show.
Yeah. Bye. Well,
my sympathies to the Orioles today.
I love it when you put things like that. That faggoty ass Baltimore station. What did they play the Red Sox today?
Yeah, they finished their series with the Red Sox.
Very good.
3-game series up in Fenway.
Red Sox win?
They were winning in the ninth inning, 7-3. And Gagne, the new big boy, was on the mound for the Red Sox. So I'm not
Buzz
sure.
Buzz thought his name was Ganja.
Ganja, baby.
I'm very excited.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Welcome to our movie. It's not Waiting for Guffman. It's Waiting for Tuttle.
Waiting for Tuttle Jr.
Hello.
Hi, I just want to make sure that you guys know they use the whatnot. So don't buzz them out.
Well, they're Tuttles, though. They're allowed to use. Can we already even... We're not going to make an exception?
No.
You will hang up on Paul Tuttle Jr. If
he says whatnot, absolutely.
We might not need to hang up.
Correct.
Whatnot.
If he calls. We get him. Now, you got something to promote, for goodness sakes.
I'm sure.
New episode tonight, 9 o'clock on TLC.
There he is.
Good.
Excellent. All right, Robbie, come on. Get him ready for me.
Warm him up.
Come on, tell him I love him. Here we go.
I'm ready for already, this. Hey, let me talk to him too, okay? You're already saying me and I too much. I like him too.
Did I let you have your Rickles time?
Yes. I'm going to let you have all the time
you
want.
Who watched American Chopper first?
Can I say he's handsome?
Who watched it first?
Go ahead, knock yourself out. I owe you.
Paul Jr.
What's going on?
Paul Jr., you kick ass.
Yeah.
Hi there, Paul. Paul Tuttle Jr. My name is Don. This is my buddy Mike. Mike, want to say hi to you.
Hello.
All right, enough of Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Now,
Paul. No, Paul. Don Paulie. Wants the first part of this interview. I'm going to let him have it. He's a super fan. I am too, but he's a bigger fan than I am. There, I said it.
From day...
All right, Don.
Thank you, Paul Jr. From day one, the best show on TV... Every day, I TiVo it, American Chopper. Would love it. Had your dad on one time before, and I screwed it up.
You didn't screw it up.
Well, because I was a schoolgirl in love, telling your dad what a fan I am of the show. And your dad was like, okay.
You. Yeah, it was like, we kind of came across maybe as a couple of stalkers,
So,
First, yeah, that's all right. We appreciate it. Believe me when I tell you.
Let me tell you first, Paul Jr., that I appreciate your show. It is the absolute most realistic show on television. And if I could see it.
Are you doing the same thing again? You're doing the same thing you did to Senior with Junior. What the hell was that? But Paul, you all right there?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just listening in.
Okay, all right. Here's the deal.
We'll get a question to you anytime now. I guarantee it.
Mike, did I screw it up when you had Don Rickles on?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm waiting. I'm waiting patiently over here.
I am wondering. Well, I don't have to have a question.
I know you don't.
I can simply lecture him about how much I love the show.
Oh, I'd like to hear him.
Well, I would like to turn your microphone off. Excuse me.
Oh, thank you.
I won't do it. You're my buddy.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about it.
Is that a car door opening?
No.
What's the ding, 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 Paul Jr.?
That's just the ringing I get in my ears. It tends to reverb through the phone sometimes.
All right, I'm going to focus now. Here we go. First off, your show is great. I love everybody on the show. I love the realism on the show. I love the fact that you guys, unlike any other show that I've ever seen on TV, are not afraid to show your warts and the bad side and all the crazy crap that you guys do. That's number one. Number two, goddamn, can you design a bike, Paulie? Really? And even this past weekend, your name came up in my house. I was doing a chore. I'm not handy at all like you. I love motorcycles. I'm a big pussy. I'm afraid of them, but I'm fascinated by them. And I was doing an odd job for my girlfriend at our house, and she came by and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Leave me alone. I'm like Paul Jr. I need to analyze this, and then I will come up with a plan to attack it." Sounds incredibly gay.
She wasn't buying that, though, right?
No, she was not. Do you get a lot of guys like me, a lot of guys that want to be bikers, that watch the show and like glom on to you, and you look at a guy like me and you'd go, "God, get a life, you fat pig."
You know, I appreciate everything you said. And, you know, the show is... the show is what it is, and I think definitely that's what's made it successful. You know, we're just who we are, you know. We're not actors. We never were. We never aspired to be. So, you know, we get a little crazy sometimes. Our emotions run high, no question.
Favorite episode? Paulie, but I would like to ask you about, now that I'm collecting myself, my favorite episode was one of them where they showed outtakes. It was the one where Mikey drove his truck into the pond, and you guys pulled the truck out using another truck, and then, like retards, you just attached chains from the back end of one car to the back end of this other truck, and they drove through this winding road through the woods, and the truck that they were hauling was just bam, 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 bam,
yeah,
bam.
That's the only thing that keeps us going.
Great
That's
moment.
That's how we do it.
Great moment.
What we were doing today, man. We just.
What did you
I'm
do?
Sorry, we got so much good stuff like that coming out. And, you know, we just. Someone says, "Why don't we do this?" And then the next thing you know, you got eight guys that aren't right in the head trying to come up with different ways to make it even worse.
You know, Paul, we were talking about the show the other day, and. Don, you were mentioning how many hours they actually tape on the show during a given week.
There were like 160 hours of tape for one episode or something like that.
Paul, and you've been doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, you've been doing it for a while now. I would imagine. I mean, you got to have, I would assume, some systems in place where you can say to the guys, you know, who are producing, can you ever just say, "Hey, just shut it down. Not right now." Is there anything you have, like a safety switch where you can tell these guys, you know, "Get that camera out of my face"? You got to feel that way sometime,
yeah,
I would imagine.
You know, yeah, most of the time you just roll with it. But, yeah, sometimes, believe me, you just say it in the right manner and everybody stops filming.
Now, you know what Paul does? Paul leaves a lot. Paul Jr. leaves a lot. Oh, and you know what we were talking about in an episode the other day that I mentioned? The guy that's the producer for the Discovery TLC part of your show. What's the guy's
right.
name? Steve Nigg, is that his name?
It used to be. Not anymore. It's Adam Moyers, our new producer.
Oh, okay.
You know, producers and film guys, you know, they kind of have to move. They can't really stay in one place for too long because that's kind of the industry, and they need to build portfolio. So they need to show diversity. And, you know, our original film crews were all from California, and that that got really tough on them. They were great guys, but after a while, you know, everything's in California that's theirs. So after a season, they're ready to go home. So, I mean, we've had so many different camera guys and producers, but
do you have
I will say this. We definitely have a very tight crew. We have a phenomenal producer, and everything is just goes very smoothly.
Do you have a significant amount of downtime when you're not shooting? I mean, or are you pretty...
I just came off a month's hiatus.
Oh, and now, does that month's hiatus involve like a real vacation, or can you still just go to the shop and work in the shop without having cameras there?
You know what? My father does that. That ain't me. He has doing it so long. He doesn't know how to relax. Me, I go to the Bahamas.
Very good.
Then I go relax at my house and do things. You know, I mean, I like to fish. And
so you just chill out when the show's not shooting.
If I don't have to go to work, I won't go.
Women want to be with him, and men want to be like him.
That's absolutely right.
He's Paul Jr. When you had that guy, the other guy, as your producer, when you were doing the behind-the-scenes thing, the reason I bring it up, it was right. One of those times where you ask if there was anything that they don't want to do. Paulie Jr. was sitting down, and he was being interviewed, and he said, I'm not going to say anything at all about this guy, about this producer. Because I guess you're playing with him because he's a prick because they follow you around all the time with cameras and you just would not participate in his reindeer game. So if he's out of the picture, how many – here's another question I want to know. How many cameras are around you guys at all times when you're in the shop?
We almost always have four cameras at all times.
Wow.
So the crew's grown a little bit, but what we have is we have four camera guys. And we have a sound guy and AP. We got a guy who does, like, R&D. And then we got our producer. And then like, an AP guy, like, you know, assistant.
How famous?
It's a pretty good-sized crew. When we're rolling with everyone, there's at least 10 or 12 of us everywhere we go.
How famous are you now when you go places? I've seen the footage when you guys go overseas, but how about in America? How nutty famous are you?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard question to answer. I think that the show has been around 5 years, and I live in the same town I was born in. So, I mean, I'm just here, and I'm just me, and I don't always, sometimes you get like this, you know, when you're in certain environments, you feel like, wow, this is pretty crazy. But other than that, I don't feel famous. So, I know that when we were in Australia, they said... they said we had over 350 million fans.
Wow.
So that's quite a bit.
My
people.
God.
And I know the show airs in 160 countries. Mm. And, like, this year we're going to be going. I mean, we went to Australia. The past 2 years in a row, we won 2 Astro Awards, which are equivalent to our Emmys in Australia. And we're going to South Africa this year. And we're going to Brazil, so the show is wildly popular overseas, as well as inside the United States. So
let me just, it's amazing
that it just doesn't slow down. You know, usually reality shows, how long could they last? But you know, our fan base and the people who watch the show are so faithful and so consistent, and you know, our character base it stays consistent. And it never really changes. And, you know, one of the interesting things about our show is we've never once hired a person because they're good for the show. We always hire out of necessity to grow.
That brings me to the next point. The people on the show, I'm curious about them as well. Vince, looks to me like there may be days that he has appreciable body odor. Also, Rick, I want to tell you, I've watched Rick over the years.
Rick's the thinner guy, right?
Yeah, and he's the one that I think may be lighting the loafers. And I definitely like Poole. I love that kid. You got to keep You got to keep that kid around. He's a good boy.
Oh, he is, and he's funny as heck. He's one of my good friends as well. And you know, I'll tell you, that he just got hired because he was good with the computer, and he's out of his mind like the rest of us.
Oh,
so,
now here you go.
You know, you can't be 100% right in the head and survive working for our company. Like, you're not dealing with, you know, like working class stiffs. Everybody who works for us is.
How many guys do you have working for you right now? How many guys total do you have at OCC?
In the entire company, I believe it's between 70 and 80 employees.
Wow, you don't see that.
You know, we have our, you know, fab and assembly guys, and then we have all our management. We have our store. We have our, you know, we just have, like, this variety of people in different areas.
If I was to work at OCC and I was just a regular worker there, and somebody pissed me off or something pissed me off, could I take my keyboard and throw it against the wall? Could I take an axe and pound it through somebody's door? Could I throw water balloons at a guy's balls? Or can only you and your dad and the crew get along, get away with that?
No, I mean, you know what? It's like this, okay? Like, Jason freaks out and, like, destroys his keyboard. But, you know, he's frustrated. He's freaking out. We're filming, and he's genuinely freaking out.
That was the NASA episode, incidentally. That was the NASA episode.
That's right. And, you know, I know what I was doing. I'm busting his chops. I know his breaking point, so I just pushed him a little too far. I was right, but, you know, I was handling the situation, of course, to get him to freak out a little bit.
You ever get scared of your father when he's raving out? You ever get scared of him?
No.
Because really, the rage that you two guys really do it, and the door breaks, I mean, that's pretty significant stuff that we're watching there.
The best argument ever, Paulie, I think, was one day, I don't know what started it, your dad was on your ass, and he started screaming at you about working, and you screamed at him, and you said, you'd be nowhere without me, you don't know what the hell I'm doing, and it was like, F you, and I mean, it was absolutely 100% real. My question would be, when you come back to work the next day, how do the cats that you work with, like Vince or Rick,
right,
what do they say to you in real life when you come in after really you've screamed at your dad and told him to F off, and he tells you you're a retard, you should F off, and you get in your car and leave? What do you say to those guys when you get back?
I don't say anything to them. They work for it.
How about with your old man? I mean, do you guys call?
You know what? I know as well as anyone else, I'm a business person. That kind of situation is counterproductive to a work environment. I'm not under any kind of disillusion that kind of thing is healthy or good. And, you know, fortunately, in the past, it's a year and a half, it hasn't happened. So we're both kind of, I guess you could say, growing up a little bit.
Did you guys ever have a discussion about it where you said, hey, you know, I know this is entertaining.
All the time. Okay. We always talk about it afterwards. But, you know, at the end of the day, it happens. You know, it's just that the cameras are there.
You know, really, the reality of it hits home. The fact that you haven't done it in a year and a half tells me that when we, you know, what we've seen in the past is the real deal when you guys are going at it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, listen, when he watches the show, he can't believe how crazy he's gotten in the past. And I think, you know, sometimes if an old episode, I don't watch the show very often. I'll TiVo it and catch clips. If Mikey's funny in something, I'll fast forward watch that because I live it. But for him, he'll watch the show sometimes and he'll see an old episode. He'll call me and tell me what episode he was watching. And he's like, you know, taken back by how crazy it was. But, you know, there was a lot of circumstances at the time. The whole thing was new to us. We had, you know, an awesome opportunity to capitalize on a great deal of financial success, and we didn't know what the heck we were doing. We had cameras following us around all day long. We felt pressured to do absolutely everything. We would go and sign autographs for 12 hours a day for 8 days straight because we didn't know any better.
Oh,
God
wow.
bless you. God
so,
bless
so
you.
So this was the insanity in which we lived in, aside from a good handful of personal issues that have nothing to do with business. It was real heavy at one time.
I won't even ask you about that. Your dad has alluded to the fact that he's had some sort of substance problem, and I've seen your mom on the show, and we know that your dad just got married over the weekend. Hey, do you still have that hot as balls girlfriend that works at OCC?
You know what? I'm recently. Maybe 2 months ago, we kind of separated.
All right.
He's on the market.
Nothing wrong with that, Paul Jr.
Are you on the market, Paul? I mean, are you a single man now?
I am. I am a single man, but, you know, I'm still very good friends with Whitney.
Oh, you got to cut her out of the reruns now, Paul. You got to cut her out.
Oh, man. But you got to be enjoying life.
You know, it's good. She's like my best friend, and it didn't have to be, you know, it didn't have to end ugly. And I've been in relationships in the past that were just... horrible nightmare, death, and destruction.
How come I never see you? Now, I see you do violent, crazy stuff, but like when you're talking about your dad and Mike, like there was an episode where Mike was doing something at his house. They were tearing down some walls, and your dad and Mike at one point were sitting on the floor, Indian style, and overhead they were throwing throwing
axes.
They're throwing axes through a door. Now, one slip, and one of those things could have either cut your dad's head off, cut your brother's head off. I never see you go quite that far. what's the most dangerous thing that you've ever done that's been caught on camera?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, we filled that pipe with acetylene and oxygen at one time.
Oh, I remember that
one. My father lit it, and that's probably not the safest thing. And, no, I tend to, I like to get crazy and do stuff like that, too, but, you know, those guys always go just a little bit overboard. I'm a cautious guy a lot of the time.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about motorcycles, because really, when you look at the show, right now, as far as your business is concerned, the television show goes away. OCC is its own entity. I mean, how much is what is the more significant aspect of the business now? Is it the television show, or is it the base of everything, which is making the choppers?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a combination of things. It's all like relevant. It's all important. I mean, one thing kind of feeds the next. So you know, the TV show gives us kind of like this podium to kind of push what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Like currently we just came out with a line of bikes, so we're getting ready to go to dealers, and these bikes are very reasonable, very well priced inside the industry, so we're trying to get out to the masses. And you know, our main focus is our bikes and our parts line, and you know, we're venturing out. We got the new building. We're just building a 100,000 square foot facility. We're going to have a restaurant in front of that. We're branching out with different stores, store restaurant combinations in Vegas, and we're just kind of, you know, our whole aim and goal from day one is to know that we'll be a thriving entity after the show.
Good.
So that's our main focus. You know, my father might be around for maybe another 5 or 6 years, but then he's going to get tired of it and want to do whatever he wants to do, and then it's my baby. So I'm looking at the future of the company and trying to, you know, everything's geared in that direction.
You're a good guy, and you got your head on straight, man.
Paul, I love the show. Not to jive it up. Keep it real. You know, don't let that jive crap go to your head. I love the fact that you guys are the people that you really appear to be.
And you
TV.
Do an awful lot of good stuff, too, and I think that's terrific that you're doing that stuff, and you're having fun doing it, and we wish you tremendous success. We really do.
The only thing that I would mention in passing, and who am I to say except your biggest, most idiotic fan, when you guys do a recap of something that has happened, it's a crutch that a lot of people fall into. When you're speaking, the first thing you say is, you know. Now, I just have a couple of examples.
We've compiled something for you, Paul, that we think you're going
to
like.
This is from the episode with Ewan McGregor. Let's just hear how many times they cut away to Paul or to Paul Sr., and they start a segment by saying, you know.
We've done this with James Brown from, from CBS Sports also.
You know, we had a great time with Ewan today. It was really, you know, the bike we're going to ride is 1930. You know, one of the cool things about Brooklands is that they preserve one.
You know, looking at these bikes, looking at some of the.
You know, the bike we're going to ride.
You know, after a great ride, we arrived, you know, looking at some of the. You know, the thing I think that's.
You know, the bike we're going to ride is.
That's our little thing.
You know what? You know what? Early on, we realized we're repeating ourselves, but everybody does that.
We're busting balls, don't worry.
Like, everybody has something that they say repetitively. So it's interesting, because when you watch the show, you're like, man, we keep saying this.
We're just busting your balls.
If you listen, I know. It's funny, though. It is funny, because everybody does that. It's just that when you watch yourself on TV and you hear your voice, you're like, how many times am I going to say that?
But it's great. You guys do keep it real. We're both huge fans of the show.
Paul Tunnell Jr., thank you. New episode tonight at 9 o'clock on TLC, honoring the career and the work of Byron Nelson. Paul, really a pleasure. And keep on doing the show, man. You guys kick ass.
And give our best to your brother and your dad for us, okay?
I will. Thank you guys very much.
Nice talking to you, dude.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy, man.
Bye-bye.
He is a good guy.
Very cool.
He loves to shoot the breeze, man. Really, don't you think we could have talked to him for a couple of hours?
I don't
think we scratched the surface.
I'm all sticky.
I've never seen you like that. I didn't realize until we started that you were physically twisting in your chair with your fist balled up.
You know why? I was fighting because you and I both wanted to talk, and he was giving us.
Did I do okay?
Thank you. Yes.
I mean, I know you did it for me with Rickles. I know that. But at least you got a better guy here. I got.
Thank you. Hi.
Yeah, he did like talking a lot, and sure I didn't want to jump in, and I was noticing I want to jump in, and you wanted to jump in. So thank you for sharing Paul Jr. with me,
and
Mike.
Getting him off the phone, even though I knew we had to wind it up, and I know we're winding down there, and I'm sitting there going, I could sit there and talk to this guy about that business and about the aspects of that reality
show. Jesus Christ.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're going to get fired.